ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت. لك الحمد يا ربي على نعمة الإسلام، ولك الحمد يا ربي على نعمة الإيمان. اللهم إنك أنت أحق من عبد، وأجود من سئل، وأرأف من ملك. أنت الملك لا شريك لك، والأحد الذي لا ند لك. لن تطاع إلا بإذنك، ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك. تطاع فتشكر، وتعصى فتغفر. الحسنة عندك بعشر أمثالها وقد تزيد، والسيئة عندك بواحدة وقد تغفر. القلوب لك مفضية، والسر عندك علانية. والحلال ما أحلل، والحرام ما حرم، والدين ما شرع، والعبد عبدك، والبلد بلدك، والأرض أرضك، وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. بلغ الرسالة، وأدى الأمانة، ونصح الأمة، وكشف الله به الغمة، وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. فجزاه الله عنا خير ما يجازى نبي عن أمته، ورضي الله عن صحابته الغر الميامين الذين نقلوا لنا علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank Him, and we bear witness that there is no deity except Him. No one deserves to be called the names of greatness except Him. No one deserves to be called the creator of all, the provider of all, the supporter of all, except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Him belongs all the glory. To Him belongs all the gratitude. The favors are from Him. Everything is from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we bear witness that He is the only one in heavens and earth that deserves the name Allah, God, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, congratulations for the occasions. Congratulations from a Lord that loves you, from a Lord that wants you to be happy today. For His nature is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wadood. He seeks the love of the ones who are lower status than Him. That's His nature. And He describes His nature by assigning to Himself 99 names. Every name describes part of His nature. Easy to understand names in a perfectly understandable Arabic language so that we get to know who is He. And Al-Wadud, the one who seeks the love of the creation that are lower status than Him. A big, huge king, absolute king, the most glorious king. And He seeks the love of the people of His creation, which are us, which are way much lower status than Him. Praise be to Him. He wants you to be happy in this day. And He wants you to get closer to Him and to get to know Him more, better and better. And the way to do that is by studying His attribute, His names. And by understanding His names, you understand His nature. Today we will explore together one of the names, which is Al-Wakil. Al-Wakil is the one who takes care of your personal business in your behalf. You depend on that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you depend on Him to take care of your personal business in your behalf. Like, we can see clear examples of this. If we look inside our human body that represents our physical existence, we can tell right away that He is digesting our food on our behalf. He is organizing our blood circulation on our behalf. He is synchronizing our heart beating on our behalf. The most important muscle in our body is the heart muscle. We don't control it. He subhanahu wa ta'ala controls it. And He is controlling it. He's doing an excellent job in controlling it so that we still alive. We remain alive. Allah, when you run fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speeds the heart so that you get more blood. And so forth. He is digesting the food on our behalf. He is filtering the food in our tummy and on our behalf. The good stuff are retained and the bad stuff go out in the form of number one or number two. This is all done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise be to Him, the one who's taking care of our personal business on our behalf. Not on the top of that, we see Him outside of our human body. In our human body,
Not only that he's taking care of our personal business on our behalf, but also without our knowledge. He is doing so many things in our human body, he's taking care of them that we are not aware of. And we don't understand how it is being done. Not to mention controlling it ourselves. So subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the wakeel. Around us, he is taking care of making the earth a safe floor and making the heaven a safe roof. He is taking care of that. When the ozone layer gets thinner, we get scared because the sky is about not to become a safe roof. It's about to. So we get scared and we try to do something about it. And when the people who travel to the outer space go out, they wear these suits to protect themselves, to provide the same level of protection provided by the atmosphere. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking care of the earth to be a safe floor, taking care of our food, taking care of everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is al-wakil, the one who's taking care of our personal business on our behalf. However, this name can be easily misunderstood. So we need to know what is it, the meaning al-wakil, very well. Does al-wakil mean that he will be doing our homework, and we shouldn't do our homework? Does al-wakil mean that we don't use the laws of nature surrounding us to achieve things because he's going to do it on our behalf? Let's not study. He's going to make us pass the exam. He's going to study on our behalf. Let's not go to work. He's going to go to work on our behalf. No, absolutely not. This is the wrong understanding. When Umar ibn al-Khattab walked into the masjid to find the people sleeping there, and then they are waiting for others to feed them, he said, why don't you go to work? He said, we are depending on al-wakil. Allah, he is going to, if he wants, he would provide for us. So he used his stick to teach them a lesson that, no, to depend on al-wakil, if you really are truly depending on al-wakil, then you should use the laws of nature that he put in place. Because these laws of nature that he put in place are the way to depend on him. That's how you depend on him. The first step is to use all the laws of nature available to you. Whatever is available to you. Use brains and muscles to take advantage of the laws of nature available to you. And when you run out of that, and there is nothing else you can do, then you depend on him subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of the many, 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 many things that you are unaware of. The biggest unknown is the future. You make a plan. You use the laws of nature to make a plan. And this plan can be easily ruined by anything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he wants. So you depend on him to take care of these things that you are unable to take care of it yourself. The Arabian man came to the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dragging, he's a Bedouin guy, simple-minded, dragging his camel behind him. And he was thinking that, Allah is al-wakil, I shouldn't tie the camel. And then he entered the masjid without tying the camel. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, why didn't you tie the camel? He said, I am depending on Allah, he's al-wakil, he's going to take care of my camel on my behalf. Prophet Muhammad immediately corrected him and said, اِعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ. Use the laws of nature to do your work, to do your task. Whatever is available to you is what, to the best of your ability, whatever is available is to tie the camel. And then you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of the unknown things that could happen to the camel after you tie it, or to take care of the things that you are unaware of, or the things beyond your reach. He's going to take care of them. The camel could be stolen. Allah subhanahu, depend on Allah to protect the camel in this situation. The camel, anything could happen. The camel could die. The rope could cut. Anything could happen. You depend on Allah. You do the best available to you within your reach. And then you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of the rest. And so the same thing. If you look at the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. And you ask, we asked ourselves the question, why didn't Allah send him al-Buraq, the miraculous animal that took him on the night of al-Isra wal Mi'raj, the night journey and the heavenly journey in a blink of an eye from Mecca to Jerusalem. And he was able to go up to heaven and come down and go back to his bed before the warmth of his bed goes away. Why didn't Allah send him this Buraq to take him from Mecca to Medina when he was under threat by those non-believers that they want to kill him. And he really was in desperate need of this brought animal. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us how to get the job done. To get the job done, we use the laws of nature. To depend on him, because he's al-wakil, we use the laws of the best available laws of nature to us. However, what could go wrong when you use the laws of nature? Hundreds of things could go wrong. Then you are praying to Allah. Ya Allah, this is the best I can do. The rest, the unknown things, the things beyond my reach are yours to take care of. For I don't know what is going to happen. I just do what I can do. And you, Ya Allah, please make me successful. Ya Allah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took care of that. Now, the humanity have gone into extremes when dealing with this issue. The first extreme are the mystic people. The people are who are on the right wing, who say, well, we depend on Allah. So if one of them gets sick, he doesn't go to the doctor and take medication. And then the other extreme is the materialistic extreme. Believers of the laws of nature. They worship the laws of nature. To them, they call it Mother Nature. Everything to them, Mother Nature. Nothing beyond Mother Nature. Nothing behind Mother Nature. So if one of them gets sick and goes to the doctor, they say, and then this person recovers from his sickness, this person says, it is because of the doctor, because of the medication. Gratitude and thanking, alhamdulillah, doctor. Gratitude and thanking to the doctor. Gratitude and thanking to the medication. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, wants us to take care of use the laws of nature, but our hope is in the law, not in the laws of nature. Our hope is in the one behind the laws of nature. So the middle path, which is the right Muslim, is the one in the middle. He's not in any extreme. He uses the laws of nature because this is the first step to depend on Allah al-Wakil. And then, after using the laws of nature, praying to Allah, Ya Allah, help the doctor diagnose the disease the right way. Ya Allah, help the doctor select the best medication for me. Ya Allah, make the medication work in my body. Ya Allah, basically when he's praying, he's saying, Ya Allah, decrease the probability of failure. Whenever we use the laws of nature, there's something called probability of failure. We make a plan, but the plan could fail. We build a building, but the building could fall. Because there's always probability of failure. We design the building for an earthquake, you get a stronger earthquake, there's a probability of failure. And we pray, we do whatever we can within our means, but whatever outside of our ability, our reach, is the probability of failure. And if we don't depend on Allah to take care of that portion, the depending on Allah is to pray to Him to take care of the probability of failure. When the Prophet Muhammad corrected the Arabian man, he told him basically, tie the camel and then depend on Allah. Why did he assign two tasks for him? Because Allah is the only one unit. We are made of two separate units. The body and the soul. So the body and the soul are different from each other. The body cannot force the soul to do something, and the soul cannot force the body to do something. The heart can force your body, and your body sometimes cannot control your heart. I'll give you an example of the person who's trying to lose weight. As far as his body, his brain is fully convinced that he has to lose weight, and he's motivated to lose weight. However, when he's trying to lose weight, he can't. Why? Even though brain-wise, he understands that it is in his best interest. And he has to do it, or he's going to die, or whatever. But he's unable to do it, because the heart is something, and the brain, the muscles are something else. So the Prophet Muhammad was saying, basically to the guy, use your brains and muscles to do the homework. To take advantage, to use the laws of nature, use your brains and muscles to take to do the laws of nature, to use the means available to you within your reach. And then, depend on Allah using your heart. So depending on Allah is the job of the heart, not the job of the brains and muscles. The job of the brains and muscles is to take advantage of the laws of nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place. So this is the way to do it. Use our brains and muscles, and then depend on Allah to take care of the probability of failure using our hearts. 60, 70 years ago, a guy, a very intelligent scientist, very intelligent engineer, designed the largest moving ship on the face of the earth at that time. The ship was called Titanic. He designed the ship, and he put it in the sea, and he was very arrogant. He used the best available laws of nature to design and build that ship. The best available technology. The best that the laws of nature can offer. But he has no faith of Allah. So he said, wow, not even God can sink that ship. He said it, not even God can sink that ship. And he, even from a scientific point of view, there is a probability of failure. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got him. Got him through the probability of failure. That he failed, he made a mistake in the design of the bolts or the rivets of the ship that connects the steel plates together. And that resulted in, he did not design that ship to hit an iceberg. So the ship hit a mountain of ice, and then these rivets were not well designed, so they break apart till the ship sank. Now, the question is, what is wrong with what he did? He stood and he said, not even God can sink it. Why? Because he is from the left extreme. I've taken care of the laws of nature, I've built the best ship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach him and teach humanity after him a lesson. Probability of failure. Keep it in mind, nobody can make a perfect plan. This is very obvious in the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. He used the laws of nature. He did not wait for the buraq, because the buraq was a gift from Allah. And there is a big difference between the concept of getting a gift and the concept of getting the job done. Buraq and the night journey is a gift, which is outside of getting the job done. But to get the job done, do your homework. Do the planning using the laws of nature. So he did make a plan that has six elements. The first element was that Medina is north of Mecca. So when the Prophet started his trip, he started traveling south. Why? He said he planned it well, and God was very smart, because when they found out that he has left, everybody went north. Nobody went south. By the time they went far enough north to find nobody there, they went back south. The Prophet had enough time to hide in Ghab Thawb, in the cave of Thawb. And that is the second element in the plan, was to hide in a cave. Why hide in a cave? Because in the first day, everybody's looking for him. Second day, 70%. Third day, 40%. And slowly, the number of people looking for him decreases. They give up and give up and give up. So at that point, after a few days, when almost nobody is looking for him, he can safely get out and go to Mecca, go to Medina, and migrate to Medina. The third element in the plan was to have a person, a guide person, waiting for him in a specific place at a specific time. He goes and meets that person, and this person is going to take him in a very, very unconventional, long route to Medina. A route that nobody knows, only this guy knows, to Medina. And then not only that, but he also made arrangements with Asma bint Abu Bakr to walk behind him using her cattle, so that her cattle are going to hide his footsteps so that they cannot trace him. Not only that, but he also has made arrangements with her to bring him the food at the cave, and he made arrangement with her brother to spy on the non-believers where they conspire and to bring him the news as well. Not only that, but he also arranged with Ali ibn Abi Talib to sleep on his bed. So when they peek to find if he's still in or not, they peek and they find that he's still in his bed, so they don't go after him. By the time they find out that Ali is the one sleeping in the bed, he would be far gone. Not only that, but also he made Ali stay to return back the things that he was trusted with. If he starts to return them before he leaves, they will figure out that he's leaving. But he said, don't return anything until I leave, and then return the things and then follow me. Go to Medina. He took advantage of the laws of nature to the best of his ability. A lesson for us of how to get the job done. However, another lesson is also included in that. Even though the Prophet did everything in his ability and his reach to take care of the laws of nature, his plan came to a complete failure. Complete failure. Because of the probability of failure. Why? Because there are so many unknowns that he's not aware of. And he's a human being. Suddenly, his house, before he leaves the house, was surrounded by 40 men. The strongest men from 40 different tribes, foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder with very sharp swords, waiting for him to get out to kill him. And he was inside. His plan came to a complete failure. What is he going to do? Here we go. Allah is trying to teach us. Allah is teaching us the second lesson here. The probability of failure. If your heart is depending on Allah, Allah will send His own unseen soldiers that He has been talking about all over the Quran to take care of this probability of failure and to make you successful. His plan came to a complete failure. What is he going to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the unseen soldiers and the 40 men selected from 40 different tribes. You might say, why haven't they tried to kill the Prophet Muhammad before? Because if they killed him before, there will be a civil war that's going to destroy Mecca. The tribe of Prophet Muhammad, the family, the clan of Prophet Muhammad, are going to be on one side, and the tribe of the person who killed Prophet Muhammad is going to be on the other side, and the people are going to divide between the two groups, and a civil war will start in Mecca, and will leave nobody alive. That everybody would be killed. Just like what happened in so many Arabian tribes, they kept fighting until they killed each other. And Mecca would be gone. So they don't want to kill him because it will start a civil war. But now they came up with a brilliant idea. What was it? To bring a man from every tribe. So when they kill Prophet Muhammad, the family of Prophet Muhammad cannot fight with 40 different tribes. So they will accept the monetary compensation and they get rid of Muhammad. Now, they have made the plan. The 40 men are surrounding the house of the Prophet. He can't get out. But because he did his homework by brains and muscles, and his heart was depending on Allah al-Wakil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to teach us this part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him his own unseen soldiers. Those 40 men, what happened to them? If you are in an important, serious, if you have to do an important, serious task, would you fall to sleep? No, you would be alert. Actually, you will not be able to go to sleep because you have to do something important. Now, those guys were assigned a very serious task. Would you imagine them going to sleep? Would you imagine them, all of them, sleeping together? Would you imagine that they go very deep in their sleep, that they don't feel the Prophet opening the door and going out? Would you imagine that they all, you know, leaned against the wall and they all started snoring. And not only snoring in a light sleep, no, but very deep sleep. You might think that the Prophet will open the door and take advantage of them sleeping and run. No, the Prophet knew that they are going not to wake up because he knows who is supporting him. He is al-Wakil, the magnificent one in heavens and earth. So he went and he picked up dirt. And on the top of their heads, he sprayed the dirt. He sprayed the dirt on the top of their heads without being afraid that they will wake up. All of them, 40 of them, when they woke up, they found dirt on their heads. And where is Muhammad? They peeped, they found Ali. By the time they found out that this person is Ali, he was far gone. So here we go. Allah wants to teach us the lesson that don't only take advantage of the laws of nature and forget the one behind the laws of nature. You truly want to depend on Allah? Take advantage of the laws of nature using your brains and muscles. And your heart should be the one that depends on Allah to take care of the probability of failure on your behalf. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين وأعلي بفضلك يا ربي كلمة الحق والدين انصر عبادك المؤمنين الموحدين اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم فمن لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اجعل عيدهم عيدا سعيدا يا أرحم الراحمين
آمين.
اللهم ليس لهم سواك يسعدهم في هذا العيد يا أرحم الراحمين
آمين.
اللهم فك أسراهم واشف مرضاهم وادفع عن أحيائهم وتقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء في جنات النعيم ربنا هب لنا من ذرياتنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما عباد الله إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه أولا وثنى فيه بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه ثانيا فقال جل من قائل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وأقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Make straight lines and fill in the gaps. Foot and shoulder to shoulder. If a line is incomplete, please complete the line itself.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين
الذي خلقني فهو يهدين والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين والذي يميتني ثم يحيين والذي أطمع أن يغفر لي خطيئتي يوم الدين رب هب لي حكما وألحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين واجعلني من ورثة جنة النعيم واغفر لأبي إنه كان من الضالين ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم وأزلفت الجنة للمتقين وبرزت الجحيم للغاوين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وقل رب أعوذ بك من همزات الشياطين وأعوذ بك رب أن يحضرون حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون فإذا نفخ في الصور فلا أنساب بينهم يومئذ ولا يتساءلون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد
السلام عليكم المبارك لول reserve yourself some donuts on the way out if you like. All what I'm looking at today we have the